Warning, because of the extreme content in this podcast, it is not appropriate for children. It contains depictions of violence, language, and disturbing subject matter. It is recommended strictly for adult audiences. Parental guidance is suggested.
My name is Joey Siaglia, and I am so excited to welcome you back for Season 5. Have you ever had a conversation with a serial killer and lived to tell about it? My brother, Tony Siaglia, a traumatic brain injury survivor, and the subject of the best-selling book, The Serial Killer Whisperer, has spoken for hundreds of hours with some of the world's worst serial killers. These conversations will bring you as close to a serial killer as you'd ever want to be. This season, Tony, along with our father and co-host, Al Siaglia, will share their complete investigation of Joseph Roy Matheny, one of the most depraved criminals that has ever dealt with. Through rare phone conversations, letters, and visits, you will hear a story so evil that even Hollywood couldn't make it up. Matheny is a serial killer that enjoys torturing his victims before he kills them. Admittedly, he loves having sex with their corpses. Joe Matheny also bragged about having a barbecue stand and adding parts of his victims' flesh to the pork sandwiches. The question with us has always been, is this bullshit or is this true? Tony and Al decided to visit the monster in prison and ask him face to face this question. Are you truly a cannibal creator? This is his story, and this is Murder Phone.
Murder Phoniacs. This is your host, Tony Siaglia, the Serial Killer Whisperer. You know, today we're going to get to know a little bit about Joe Matheny.
Not your brother.
Not my brother. Exactly. He's a great guy, isn't he?
Matheny?
No.
Oh, my brother. Your brother's great. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Matheny, though.
Nah.
He'd like my brother's wife, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. That hot little body of hers.
Just come on.
Okay. All right. Talk about a contrast from last season. For all of you that fell in love, rightfully so, with Manfred West's story and the changes he worked so hard to make in his life, I have to warn you, there will be no rainbows or happy endings to this story. Happy endings. Yeah, just go to Chinatown.
Oh,
well, you can get a happy ending if you want it.
It's not in the script.
It's not.
No.
Lots of things like to jump in the script.
I saw butterflies there. Not happy endings.
I don't know how I got those two confused.
Who knows, right?
Yeah.
I love it, though.
It's my style, right?
Yes, it is.
It's how I roll.
That's right.
Joe Matheny is the personification of evil. He didn't try to hide who he was. There were no masks. He is one of the most vile people that you will ever hear about. You will learn this season why we have given him the moniker, the Cannibal Creator. I like that.
So do I.
Mm-hmm. I like you.
I like you. I love you.
I love you, Bird.
It's one of those days, huh?
It is.
Okay.
I feel it. I feel it today.
All right.
It's going to be a good show. Anyways, the Cannibal Creator. We will get into that later. First, we have to learn a little about how this guy was raised and what made him tick. But first, let me introduce my co-host. And I'm going to be serious today. Really? About the co-host.
Really?
Because, yes. And this is for people that aren't familiar with past seasons or episodes of Murder Phone. You don't know how close me and this guy right here, the co-host, is. He's my dad. He's my main caretaker. He's my best friend. He's my co-host partner. And I love him so much. The fucking Coxman. Al Ciaglia.
Woo. Thank you.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
You know it's my pleasure. I love it. Keeps me young.
It does, doesn't it?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Well, you know what? Your opening about Matheny, I love the adjectives. Can I throw a few more on?
Joe, go ahead.
You don't care?
No.
All right. Evil. Vile. Those are good.
Mm.
How about vicious? Wicked. Depraved. Immoral. Despicable. Perverted. Degenerate. Contemptible. Reprehensible. Ugh. Obscene. Cruel. Unwholesome. Sick fuck. That should do it.
That should. That was really good. And you know, you're not being overdramatic because...
No, I'm not.
Every single one of those adjectives fit him to a T.
You're right.
I fucking love it. I want everybody to close their eyes. Close your eyes, everybody, and think about those adjectives, because we're not kidding. We're not exaggerating. That is Joe Matheny. Defined perfectly. We met him several times, and he is all of those plus some. Speaking of meeting him, I've listened to some of the podcasts and YouTube stories on Joe Matheny, and none of them come close to getting it right. You know, back when my book, The Serial Killer Whisperer, was written about my life, no one had even fucking heard of this guy. Nobody. I hate to say this, but we brought him into fame.
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah, I had never heard of him.
Exactly.
Remember you came to me with him? Oh, yeah. Who's this?
Like a rap song, rappers. Yo, I'm going to make you famous. Exactly. That's exactly what we did to Joe Matheny. Oh, well, fuck him. My dad and I had the pleasure. Sorry. Of meeting this guy on several occasions. In order to get his version of his crimes, Matheny pulled no punches when he discussed his sick life with us. Plus, I corresponded with this asshole.
Yeah.
A lot of people can't cuss.
They can't?
I make it sound good, though. When I cuss, like when I throw out a fuck or a piece of shit.
Sounds pretty good.
Or an asshole.
Sounds pretty good.
It does. It sounds good. I make it sound good.
I like that.
So I corresponded with this asshole, right? From 2007 to 2014. That's why when we do a deep dive into a killer, most of all the information comes directly from the source, not the internet and not police reports.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Here's a good example. I've been listening to some of the other shows about Joe, and I have to tell you, he would be really fucking pissed off. He was very particular about his name, and not one of the shows have said it right. They all pronounce it Metheny. Joe Metheny. Oh, my. That sounds like a drug or something. Yeah, man, I smoked some fucking Metheny last night.
He was worse than a drug, right?
Yeah. Wow. Let's play clip one.
So how do you pronounce your last name?
Metheny.
Metheny.
T-H-E-N-Y,
Metheny. Joseph Metheny.
One more time, please.
So how do you pronounce your last name?
Metheny.
Metheny.
T-H-E-N-Y,
Metheny. Metheny. Joseph Metheny.
You catch this piece of shit on a wrong day and say his name wrong, you might just end up in one of his sandwiches. That was your line. I like that line.
You like that, huh?
Yeah. Good job.
True, though.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dad, would you please read the second letter that I receive from Metheny? He was really a pretty good artist. I have to give him credit for that. But I can't believe over the years how he could send some of these envelopes through the mail.
You know, you're right, and I just happen to have the second letter here. And here's an example. This is really kind of tame. It's a little guy, if you can see it, the YouTube people can see it, but it's a little guy with a fishing pole, a little cartoon guy. It's supposed to be him, that little bald-headed demon, right? And he's got a fishing pole with a worm on the end, and it says, "Just wanted to drop you a line." This is on the outside of the envelope. But then, of course, inside the letter, he always drew something too, right? So this is more typical. He calls her Back Alley Sally, $5 a blowjob. And he's banging her from the back. He's a fucking beaut, isn't he? But that just goes to show you how sick his mind is, right?
Yeah, hold on one second. I'm a little warm in here. Ladies, do you mind if I undo this? I know that's pretty, it's pretty fucking cheesy, but you're going to have to live with it.
So anyway, as we go through the season, we'll cover some of the outrageous things that he sends through the mail. And we'll also post each week one or two of his sick drawings on Buy Me a Coffee for our members to enjoy. I'm not sure if enjoy is the right word. Maybe puke over them, huh?
Yeah, like I did a little bit ago.
It's just, he's pretty sick. All right. Here is the second letter dated January 18th, 2007. I'm sorry, I got kind of a bad throat today, but I'll get through it.
Hold on. Take a drink. You need to drink.
Do I?
Yeah.
You like,
drink? I drink.
Okay.
Gosh. I mean, during our break, you know, in between seasons. Ladies and gentlemen, I stayed on him. I made sure that he drank plenty.
Every day, right?
Of liquids. Water.
Okay.
Throat's better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's get to the letter. Hi, Tony. As always, my man, I hope this finds you happy and well. I just got your letter and it was pretty good to hear from you again. That was a pretty unfortunate accident that happened to you as a teenager. You must have been a very strong-willed young man to pull yourself out of such a tragedy. I've had my share of mishaps myself. I was told twice in my life I have died, once in a car wreck and once when I was shot. I don't remember anything happening with the gunshot, but I believe I may have had an out-of-body experience with the car wreck. It happened in the ICU up at a hospital in Baltimore. It was like everything turned white and like I am at a distance, but I could see what looked like silhouettes of people in long white gowns. Now, mind you, They had me doped up on morphine, and I was high as a kite on that shit. But when that happened, I didn't feel nothing. All the pain was gone. And I felt a peace come over me that I have never felt before or since. I'm far from a religious man.
No shit.
I don't knock no one for what they may believe in. I believe in good and evil. I just don't put horns and halos on it. I kind of believe that heaven and hell is a very personal thing with each person and how you choose to live your life. If you want to do good, that's heaven. If you want to do bad, that's hell. One thing I, and I'm not making this up, ladies and gentlemen, it's right here. One thing I know for sure, though, my past experiences is no one ever notices anything you do good for a long period of time. But damn, you do something wrong, and those bastards will remind you of that bad decision you made for the rest of your life until the day you die. People just have no sense of honor. Ha ha.
No. For no sense real. Of honor.
Nah. For real, there isn't a hell of a lot that I have not seen or done. There are many times in my life I wished I could have rolled back the past and repeated it for the better. But knowing myself the way I do, there's no doubt in my mind that I would have fucked it up worse. There are so many misfortunate incidents that I could try and blame on the outcome of my present situation down through life. The easiest thing that I have to blame all this on is my parents. There is no doubt that I very well could be the poster child for condoms. If my dear old dad would have had his shit wrapped up that night back in 1954, all this shit would never have happened. But it didn't go that way, unfortunately. That's right, my mom blessed my dad with a shot of ass that night. And I believe... That's why you have to watch on YouTube, because...
You get to see stuff like that.
Come on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's all right. That's right, my mom blessed my dad with a shot of ass that night. And I believe my dad may have just got a little too excited and pulled out a little too soon. There's a very good chance that the best parts of me may have ran down the crack of my mom's ass. Ha ha, shit happens. Yeah, it may sound like I run myself down a lot, and I do, because I can. I don't believe anyone has the right to down you or judge you but yourself. Though there are many who will try and do so with their opinions. But opinions are like assholes, and we all have one. Well, take care of yourself out there. Hang tough, stay strong, and please stay in touch. Later, Joe, a.k.a. Tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Spoken like a true serial killer.
Right?
Yeah.
Fuck.
You know, Dad, it's weird revisiting these letters after all this time. I mean, I got this letter from Matheny in January of 2007. Who was I fucking in 2007? I was Crystal,
too,
I think.
There's too many to count.
Yeah. Crystal, okay. I believe.
Okay. Oh, was it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And I really didn't know anything, you know, in 2007 about these maniacs. But now after 15 years of communicating with them and learning so much about these psychopaths, I mean, it's like, I got a PhD in psychiatry.
Should I call you doctor?
Why?
I probably should. Huh?
And you might be the first man to call me doctor. I've, lots of women have called me doctor over the years.
Why did I even say it?
It's, I mean, I'm not a doctor of medicine. I'm not going to take credit and say that I'm a doctor of medicine, but I'm a doctor.
You are.
Of many, many other things. Have I ever told you I have once delivered a baby? I wish we had that on film. It was beautiful.
Was it great?
Exactly. I was like a, what do you call it?
OBGYN.
Because that's like a doctor. No, that's like a doctor. Someone who delivers babies at home.
Midwife.
Yeah, I was like a midwife.
Oh.
Anyways, that story's for another time.
Thank you.
Could you see me though as a therapist?
No.
I'd be a good therapist because I'm a good listener.
Yes, you are.
I am a good listener.
You are.
Yeah, but not psychiatry. I mean, you know, I could really fuck up people if I was in charge of their medicine.
Oh my God. Or if they listen to you.
Wow. So when I read these letters, when I revisit them after all these years, I can see right through the bullshit they're peddling. Like Joe Matheny. I mean, he was one of the biggest bullshit peddlers of all of them. Let me give you a great example, okay, of bullshit. Back then, in my letters, okay, I would tell them my whole story about my accident, the coma, my near-death experience, the bullying, dropping out of school, losing everything, so on and so on, right? I was trying to get their attention and response. Now, after writing probably 2 or 3 pages of what had happened to me, the response I got from Joe Matheny was this. That was a pretty unfortunate accident that happened to you as a teenager. You must have been a very strong-willed young man to pull yourself out of such a tragedy. And then, right? And then it immediately shifted to him, all right? So, and they're so famous for doing that. Shifting it to them or trying to one-up you. Fucking assholes. So he tried to shift it to him, right?
Yeah.
And how he suffered and almost died twice. You say this word. It's your word.
Psychopathy.
Gosh. Whenever me and my dad are watching like crime shows, and they have like the really smart people on there, and they use the word psychopathy. Me and my dad, we always look at each other and we wink. And then I said to my dad, why can't we fucking put that word in our show? Huh?
And there it is.
Yeah. So what? They got PhDs or whatnot, whatever. You know, we might not have that, but they don't actually talk to killers.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. We do. And our shit's a hell of a lot more interesting, let's say. So if you want to use the word psychopathy, Dad.
I can do it?
Hell yeah.
Thank you, Doctor. You like that, don't you?
I do like that.
I like it too.
I do like that.
Okay.
Gosh. Dr. Siaglia.
Yeah.
In fact, this last letter my dad read is so perfect. I think we should give everyone a lesson in what we're talking about.
And that was his idea. And that is a great idea, Tony. It really is. Matheny is the perfect subject for this. As a matter of fact, he didn't die twice, as we found out later on. That was all bullshit.
No.
Which, at the time when you were reading, we didn't think that way. But we found out later when we were doing our investigative work. It was bullshit. His cousin told us. I think this letter will really be a great way to show how a psychopath tries to act normal. Matheny didn't wear a physical mask to hide who he was, but he sure tried to hide behind his words, right?
Yes.
And I really wish the people that you're talking about, a lot of respect for them, I wish one of them was sitting here.
Oh, yeah.
Because they would have, I mean, we have a lot. They would have more, and they would have a ball with this letter. This letter's perfect.
It's fun to listen to them talk.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know what they're saying half the time because the words are like this big, but it's intelligent.
Yeah. Let's do it.
It's like listening to Elon Musk talk, you know?
He's
you know, you got Spanish, Greek, Italian, Elon Musk. He's got his own language.
Works for him.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. Fucking. Why don't he fucking write us a check?
That would be
for a couple million. For, what is a couple million to that guy?
Nothing.
Exactly. It's like a penny I got in my pocket right now.
Maybe he will. Maybe it'll show up.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Wouldn't it? We could show it.
Holy shit. That would be great. Fuck. All right. Okay. This jumped at me. This jumped out at me.
Okay.
I'm far from a religious man. I don't knock no one for what they may believe in. I believe in good and evil. I just don't put horns or halos on it. I kind of believe that heaven and hell is a very personal thing with each person. And how you choose to live your life. If you want to do good, that's heaven. If you want to do bad, that's hell.
What the fuck? Right?
There's a lot of psycho mumbo jumbo going on there, huh?
Yeah, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Lots.
You know, I want you to do... That reminds me of the movie 29th Street. Oh. When they're driving in the car.
It's a great movie.
Uh-huh. You be the father, okay?
Yeah.
No, I'll be the father. Okay. You're the kid in the back seat.
The theory of life. That's what it reminded me of.
The theory of life.
The theory of life, yeah. Yeah, they're driving. Danny Aiello's driving a car. If anybody saw this movie, it's fucking classic.
Fucking classic.
He tells Danny Aiello what his theory of life is. He goes, yeah, you know, you're born. You're a little baby. And then you get a little older. And, you know, you play. And then you get even a little older and you're a teenager, you go to school, and then you get a little older and you might get married, have kids, and then you get real old and you die. I mean, that's life to me.
That is the stupidest fucking thing I have ever heard before.
Well, that was...
Great, great movie.
Yes, it was.
Especially if you're Italian.
This...
Yeah.
Is probably one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Yeah, just the way he worded it, you know?
Yeah. Fuck.
Fucking asshole. So he's trying to feel me out, right? Because Matheny was evil to the core. He was an atheist and had absolutely no use for God. The devil was his God. As you will find out this season. Then he goes on to this bullshit.
Could I just interrupt? Yeah. I don't think, and I was doing this, you know, he copied your out-of-body experience. It was so ridiculous the way he wrote. I don't think atheists or people that don't actually believe in Jesus Christ have out-of-body experiences.
No.
And not the way he described it. it might be an out of body, but it might be going the other way.
I didn't think about that.
Right?
Yeah, that he took a roundabout way of copying That's my out of body experience.
Your out of body experience. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Piece of shit. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead. It's okay. One thing I know for sure, though, my past experiences is no one ever notices anything you do good for a long period of time. But damn, you do something wrong and those bastards will remind you of that bad decision you made for the rest of your life until the day you die. You know, Dad, now looking back on a chain of assholes, serial killers.
Yeah.
And their letters to me.
Yeah.
Thousands. This must be a standard serial killer phrase because Haddon Clark.
Who?
Haddon Clark. Who calls us every Thursday as soon as his favorite television show is over.
Young Sheldon.
And he loves the little girl on Young Sheldon. Reagan.
Yeah.
Reagan. She's like 13, but that's like right in his wheelhouse. It's disgusting. It's
creepy. Very creepy.
Oh, God. And he like tells us how much he loves her and how he's her favorite fucking fan.
So you new listeners, you go back to season two. You'll understand what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I do believe it's the standard serial killer phrase.
He talks about that all the time. Haddon. Oh, yeah. And a lot of them did.
Mm-hmm. We call
Bianchi.
Bianchi. We call it sociopath 101. Let me restructure this for Joe. So it shows some reality and not just your psychopathic bullshit. No one ever notices anything you do good for a long period of time. But damn, you torture, kill, butcher, and eat a bunch of women, and they never let you forget it for the rest of your fucking life until the day you die.
That was good.
Uh-huh. You like that?
Yes, I did.
All right, Dad, what do you have? I'm turning it to you.
That's tough act to follow. I love that. This is great, Tony, because I bet when I read the letter, nobody thought about any of these things. Because I know when we read the letter in the beginning, years ago, we didn't think of this stuff. We didn't have any idea any of this stuff was what we're pointing out today.
We were uneducated back then.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. So I'm really glad you thought about pointing this out because it really gives the listeners it's a frame of reference for future letters. We cover a lot of letters this season. So this will, I think you'll be able to see through the bullshit. Listen to this.
Okay.
There are many times in my life I wished I could have rolled back the past and repeated it for the better. But knowing myself the way I do, there is no doubt in my mind that I would have fucked it up worse. Now, you know, this is such bullshit, and it's spoken like a true psychopath, because the only thing he would have wanted to repeat for the better is not getting caught for what he did. And that's the truth.
It is.
The only one they ever feel sorry for is themselves.
Yeah.
When they get caught.
A lot of times, though, a lot of times you'll hear them say, like Art Shawcross. Remember?
Oh, the great Art?
I turned myself in. I wanted to be caught. I was tired of it all.
I was pissing on the bridge. I saw the helicopter and I thought, it's time.
It's time.
Come and get me. It's time.
Exactly. He turned into a good Samaritan.
I drove slow so the helicopter would know where I was going.
And I was standing over where I had dumped my last body.
Great Art, please. The great Art.
The great Art. Oh, yeah. That's great. John Getz loves that.
I know he does.
The great art.
But Matheny, he loved what he did, folks. And as Tony said in his opening, we had the pure pleasure of meeting him, and he truly loved what he did and what he was. In fact, he says it right in the PS of one of the letters when he's talking about his crew, and you'll hear that. But he says, the only law that he broke was the one that he cared about, which was getting caught. True psycho.
Well, yeah. Remember what he said when he addressed the fucking court?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't exactly, I'm sorry to all my victims' families.
And, no.
Far from
that.
Not
even close.
Yeah.
Then there's this classic description. The easiest thing I have to blame all this on is my parents. If my dear old dad would have had his shit wrapped up that night back in 1954, all this shit would have never happened. But it didn't go that way, unfortunately. That's right. My mom blessed my dad with a shot of ass that night. And I believe my dad may just have got a little too excited and pulled out a little too soon. There's a good chance that the best parts of me may have ran down the crack of my mom's ass. And here it comes. Total psychopathy.
Yes. You just look more intelligent when you say that word.
Total psychopathy. Let's make a joke out of blaming the parents. Yeah. Now, if that isn't psychopathy, I don't know what is.
And it's like when I stand up and I was doing that, it's like silent film. Like Charlie
Joe
Chapman.
Would love that.
Who would?
Joe Matheny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, message to Joe from me.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
No, Joe. I'm sorry. It didn't have anything to do with your inception. You and you alone can take all the credit for becoming the perverted, evil piece of shit psycho that you became. You earned it, my friend.
That was powerful. Uh-huh. I like that.
It's a good message.
It was a good message.
Good thing he's dead.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd probably fucking come looking.
He'd pop your head like a pimple. You know? Oh, gosh.
You're up.
I just feel sorry for the... I feel sorry for the dead bodies that he fucked.
Oh.
Exactly, right? Right, though? I mean, exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't even want that guy fucking me if I was dead. Okay. Before we go... And I know you hate to hear that because you'd like to sit there and fucking watch us all day long, right? Because it's that fucking good. Before we go, let's hear a little more from the sociopath, Joseph Roy Matheny. And for all you people that don't have it right, Joseph Roy Matheny. This letter is dated March 23rd, 2007, and the envelope has his silly little creature, which I guess is supposed to be him holding a severed head, giving him a blowjob. And it says on the envelope, "It's always good to see a man trying to get ahead in this world."
How does that go through the mail?
It's still hard for me to believe that it goes through the mail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But like I said, a lot of people probably laugh.
Oh,
like
I'm
one
sure they
like,
do.
Oh, my God. Like, in, you know, the mail.
Look at this. Look at this.
Yeah.
Passing it around, right?
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Here we go. Hey, Tony.
What's up,
man? Hope the world is treating you well out there. I got your most welcome letter. Thank you. I can't believe a person like you is writing to a piece of shit like me. I often wondered that myself.
Didn't you?
Yeah. I'm just glad you are, and I wanted to thank you for taking the time. You asked me what I would do if they would let me out of prison. Shit. That's easy to answer, my man. As soon as they let me out of these front gates, I'm going to run around to the back fence and climb the fuck back in here.
He's not kidding either, is he?
No. For real, buddy. There is nothing left out there for me. There is very little out there that I have not seen or done. I am one of the few motherfuckers who will admit it in here. Please don't get me wrong. There were many times I had the world by the ass, but I was just too stupid to know what to do with it. But if I should go on a short vacation out of this hellhole, there is no doubt in my mind that I wouldn't be hard to find, for they could just follow the string of bodies I leave in my trails.
Isn't that? See, he's being truthful here.
Yeah.
Right?
But then again, who knows? I might just set up Little Tiny's open pit barbecue stands nationwide. Ha ha. Shit, there is no doubt I would fuck up and be right back in here in no time. Like I always say, this fucking place isn't much to look at, but I call it home and I fucking love it. No, he doesn't.
No.
None of them love prison.
No.
Nobody loves prison. No.
And his conversations and letters will bear that out, won't they?
Yeah. I mean, even my brother doesn't love prison. He's never been, but just think he could get all the gay sex he wants in prison. I'm just giving him a hard time.
You are, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, my friend, I'm going to bring this to close until next time. You take care out there. Later from one misunderstood genius. I'd open up a vein for you anytime. Joe, a.k.a. Tiny. Show them the letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
There it is. I'm not touching it.
The bloody fingerprint. He did that after every letter, and he did it after every piece of artwork that he sent me. He would sign it and I guess prick his finger.
Yeah.
Or his thumb. And
he wrote it right next to the "I'll open up a vein for you anytime." And then in the blood.
Okay, now. You okay, see? Yeah.
It's hard when you're just reading it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see it, you know
you
what he was
it.
Getting at. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have the picture of the little fat troll getting fucked here on the front.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, everybody, that about wraps it up. I've had about as much of this fat slob for one day.
You talking about me?
No, oh my gosh, it didn't look like it. No.
Yeah, it looked like it.
You're not a fat slob.
What the fuck?
Gosh, I mean, you're...
See, I was going to tell you to find a new partner.
You're big boned. I mean, right? Yeah.
Fat slob.
I'm proud of you. You lost a lot of weight.
I did.
You did?
I need to lose more.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Health reasons.
Yeah. You're not much of, you don't work out. You're not much of an exerciser, are you?
Come on. The whole time we took off, I was at the gym every day.
You're yeah, right?
Joe.
Yeah. Joe?
Yeah.
Well, everybody, thank you for watching our silliness. I hope you enjoyed the show. But we're going to wrap for this week. As always, take care, stay safe, and remember, always walk in the calm after the storm.
This is Joey Siaglia, and thank you for listening to Murder Phone, hosted by my brother Tony Siaglia, the subject of the best-selling book, The Serial Killer Whisperer, and his co-host, who also happens to be our father, Al Siaglia. For more information on the show, please visit murderphone.com, where you can ask questions, link to our social media accounts, and much, much more. If you'd like to help support the Murderphone podcast, please go to our Buy Me a Coffee page and sign up for a membership package. You can access all kinds of cool, exclusive content that only official Murderphoniacs can get. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast, and an iTunes review would be much appreciated.
Well, leave one if you liked it, but if you didn't, fuck it.
Murderphone was written and produced by Tony Siaglia and Al Siaglia and recorded at the Level 9 Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. A special thanks to our friend Justin Borrego for his editing magic. Join us next week for another exciting episode of Murderphone.
Yeah, before we go, I want to give a huge shout out to all those living this life after brain injury. Our new normal, as so many call it. You are awesome. Keep going. I know I will. And to my listeners that know someone living with a brain injury or other mental health issues, please be kind, be patient, and most of all, be understanding. Remember, they are doing the best they can.